Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Here we go. Welcome in, everybody, on this Thursday night. A little late, obviously, because basketball just wrapped up. Their season is mercifully, at this point, has come to an end. And their run, which wasn't a run at all, ends with their first game in the SEC tournament. So we'll talk about that kind of. More so about the future, Chris Beard's new contract, baseball starting SEC play tomorrow. I've also got a thought on Jared Ivey and something that he had to say, a good thing that he had to say to Andy Staples in their podcast interview that really flies into the face of something that Nick Saban said on Capitol Hill, of all places, this week. So my name is Michael Borky. I'm glad that you guys are here. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel if you have not already. Also, for those of you listening in podcast form, and if you're on the website, pull out your phone and your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also follow me on all socials, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. So not the most exciting start to a conversation tonight, but I'm glad that those of you that are here are here. Basketball loses to Texas A&M. I'm sorry. I'm going to be that guy tonight. I think the result of this game is almost completely meaningless. I mean, it just doesn't matter. They weren't going to win the SEC tournament. They had no shot at making the NCAA tournament. Everything that is going to be talked about with this program should start with the future. I mean, I guess we could break down the nuances of tonight's game. I don't think that there's any value in that. I don't think that you guys care enough about it. What matters now is the future. Tonight's game was kind of a reflection of the season. They got out-rebounded rather significantly. Texas A&M was a lot more physical than that of Ole Miss tonight. They didn't shoot the ball well enough. They turned it over too much. They made too many mistakes. It was just effort. And I thought the energy was okay early. They were a lot more locked in than they were last Saturday, but effort in rebounding, physicality, it's a soft team. It was a very soft basketball team, and they got beaten again tonight. So that is what that is. The season has come to an end. All eyes should be on the transfer portal. All eyes should be on what Chris Beard is doing moving forward, and that is the lead topic tonight is Chris Beard's new contract with Ole Miss. You guys have already seen it by now. It is not an extension. It is not one of those automatic rollovers. It is a new contract, effectively a new contract. It is a commitment to Ole Miss and vice versa. So two things can be true at once. I think that this is a really big deal for Ole Miss, being able to lock a guy with Chris Beard's resume down for another year is a really, really good thing. You saw a lot of what he's capable of this season, even. You, the Ole Miss fan, were able to see what meaningful basketball felt like again. It had been quite some time since Ole Miss had played meaningful basketball, and you got that this year. Now, they really collapsed down the stretch and really started playing some pretty ugly basketball there at the end of the season, but you got the taste of that again, and that is to Chris Beard's credit. They won every non-conference game. They had big home games and big home wins, like that Memphis game, like that Mississippi State game. They played and won a lot of meaningful basketball, and into March, their games mattered. By and large, a successful first year. Chris Beard's resume, I think, speaks for itself. Now, it's a bit of a different era with wide open portal, but he is a elite level coach, and locking him down for a period of time is a very good thing for Ole Miss, getting him to come back, especially with jobs that are about to come open. Having that locked in, having that two sides commitment is a very good thing. It's a very positive thing. Meaningful basketball is fun. It's infectious. It came back for a while this year at Ole Miss. And I know you guys I know you guys loved that. The atmospheres were great. All of that is true. And having now a proof of concept, if you will, turning that into momentum into an offseason is a very good and encouraging thing. Having to restart again would have just that would have been tough. And they're not doing that, and that's a good thing. Chris Beard being at Ole Miss is good for Ole Miss. It can also be true, though, that I think that he's got a little bit of something to prove, because I don't think their collapse down the stretch is exclusively they don't have good enough players. We have talked about that before. I do think that this team had an incredibly low ceiling, and they almost played up to it, but they did collapse down the stretch. There was something wrong with this team. There was spotty effort at times. They did get embarrassed physically often. They did in a three really do or die games. The South Carolina game, I know South Carolina is a really good team, but at home, must win, got punched in the mouth. They go to Georgia, and I know Matt Morrell was out, but not a great effort in Georgia in a must-win game, and then getting embarrassed by A&M on their home floor. There were other things that were wrong with this team besides just a lack of talent. They were not physical. Again, spotty effort at times. Offense looked disjointed at times. Things that don't require talent to do well, like ball movement, among other things, smarter shot selection, etc. So while I think his resume, again, does speak for itself, I am curious. I would love to know what kind of self-scouting, self-reflection Chris Beard is going to do this offseason, because I don't think that this year was some immaculate coaching job, right? I don't think that everything was perfect from a coaching perspective, and the only thing missing was just players. I think there's a little bit more wrong with this team than that. But as I've said before, and I'll say again, if anybody can win games at Ole Miss, it is Chris Beard. He absolutely can, and I think with time will do it. But this is a very critical offseason upcoming. Lock in the new deal. That's a big deal. It's very important. Now it's portal time. The portal will open here in just a few days, and that is it's pivotal. It's critical. Whatever adjective you want to use, he's going to have to flip almost the entire roster via transfer portal. And it's got to be not just guys, but the right guys. He needs to find players that will buy in to everything that they're being asked to do. That was clearly an issue this year to some degree. He actually said as much after the A&M game, not tonight, but the more distant one, so the last game of the regular season, that A&M game, called out selfishness, talked about name on the front versus name on the back, and so on. Needs to get guys that will buy in, needs to find a big with some kind of offensive game, needs guys that will be more physical, because you're not one of, and I mean this literally, one of the worst rebounding teams in all of college basketball just because of talent. There was a toughness, there was a mentality issue there, and he's got to go find the right guys that will do what he's asking them to do. This team didn't have it. His next team needs to have it. Everybody is talking about the rumors going around are that the NIL money is there in a way that surprises me if the numbers that I'm hearing are accurate in a good way, and it needs to be there. I think that he has shown you enough to where it's time for collective, the fans and the collective to buy into basketball, and it sounds like that has happened. So ugly into a season, ugly stretch run, very tough to watch over the last couple of weeks. But I do think year one showed you enough to know that with a well-funded collective and with the right time, Chris Beard will win at Ole Miss. So that's the story tonight, is what they do moving forward. The game that just happened really is, frankly, it's meaningless. It's got to do some self-scouting, got to hit the portal hard, and see if they can build a roster that will do the things that this team did poorly well, because they're not that far off. They really weren't that far off this season. And we'll see if he's able to do it. But him signing that contract with Ole Miss is a big deal for Ole Miss. It really is. So that's item number one. Number two, baseball begins SEC play with a big test with South Carolina tomorrow. Looks like the weather should be getting out in time. It looks like it. So I'll pull it up again to make sure. I've been kind of watching it all day because our radio audience was asking us about it. You know, do I think that the weather's going to get out of there in time, as if I'm some kind of weatherman? But according to the app, yes, it looks like they should be playing baseball tomorrow night in Oxford. It's a South Carolina team that has a couple of starting pitchers that have, frankly, overachieved relative to expectations anyway at the start of this season. It was supposed to be a team that hit the baseball really, really well. They do that, but the pitching's been more of a surprise. The starting pitching's been more of a surprise than the bats. Their game one starter, the guy that Ole Miss is going to see tomorrow night, has two walks on the season. So Ole Miss has been really good at getting on base without hits. They are one of the better teams in America at drawing walks. They may not get those opportunities as much tomorrow night with South Carolina and who they're throwing. So this is where it gets real now. They've navigated non-conference play pretty well after a rocky start. They should be pretty confident going into this series, but South Carolina's tough. They're going to pitch it well. Ole Miss is going to have to play really well if they're going to get to this weekend. Mike Bianco did not change the rotation at all. Absolutely the right decision there. Dennis and Doyle and Saunier looked good last week. This is a team, again, like I said, should be pretty confident, but runs are going to be at a premium, I think, tomorrow night. Can't make mistakes in the field. They've got to play clean defense. They have to capitalize when they get runners in scoring position because it doesn't seem like they're going to get many free passes. It's not going to be handed to them. They're going to have to go take it. But we will see with this team. And I hate being a we will see guy, but this is what we've been waiting for to see if they really have improved, if they've gotten better, if they are a team that can make the postseason. Or was their winning streak leading up to this point just a product of schedule? We will have to see. Big test upcoming this weekend. And finally, really quick. So Jared Ivey was interviewed by Andy Staples. And the interview published literally the day after Nick Saban was on Capitol Hill, where Nick Saban said that he shared the anecdote. We talked about it last time together, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this. But I do think what Jared Ivey said was very important, because you remember Nick Saban yesterday shared an anecdote about a conversation he had with his wife where she told him, quote, "Why are we doing this?" She told him that players now only care about how much money they are making. That was what was talked about on Capitol Hill earlier this week. Literally the next day, Ole Miss defensive end Jared Ivey was on Andy Staples' show and was asked about, you know, running it back. Why did you guys all decide to come back? Did you talk about that, you know, before all of you made your decisions? And he said, yes, of course they did. Quote, "A lot of people put too much stake in the NIL stuff and that they stayed for these wrong reasons," end quote. That's what Jared Ivey said to Andy Staples. And I found that so interesting, because Jared Ivey is exactly right. Him, J.J. Pegues, Trey Harris, Caden Priestcorn, a lot of these guys, Jordan Watkins, that stayed, that chose to stay at Ole Miss, I promise you, could have entered the portal or leveraged the portal for more money. So I'm not naive. I know a lot of these guys make decisions because of money. Maybe most of them. It really is most of them. Maybe Nick Saban was onto something. And look, he coached, so what do I know? But when he says all the players care about is money, look at Ole Miss. Because I guarantee you, if what I understand about Ivy and Pegues' NIL deals and Harris and those guys that chose to stay, right? That chose to run it back. If I know what I think I know about their NIL deals, They could have gotten so much more money had they chosen to hit the portal and go that route. The going rate for experienced SEC defensive linemen is astronomical. And J.J. Pegues, for example, does not have an astronomical NIL deal. Even Jackson Dart, who's got a very large NIL deal, could have hit the portal and gotten more. 100% could have. Absolutely could have. Those guys stay. But what we as sports media people and coaches don't talk enough about is the guys that stay. We are so focused on the guys that leave that we don't pay attention to the ones that stay. And so we use phrases like, they all only care about who will give them the most money. That is proven inaccurate. That is not true, because at Ole Miss, there's a bunch of guys on that Ole Miss roster that could have leveraged the transfer portal and chose not to. Jared Ivey's own words prove it. If you want to believe my quote-unquote sourcing on this, I am right. A lot of guys on the Ole Miss roster took discounts to stay at Ole Miss. They stayed loyal. They didn't put money first. Now, they're all getting deals. They're all getting paid. That helps. But they took a discount to stay at Ole Miss and to stay on that team. Anyway, sorry about that. I will try to remember to edit that out of the podcast. But anyway, so that's my spiel. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. If you are a Mississippi business anywhere in Mississippi and you're in need of office technology, the people at Advantage Business Systems has you covered. Tell them I sent you, by the way. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, whether it's IT projects or phone systems or copiers and printers or mail machines. Technology in the office, from copiers to cloud storage, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They have 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely one in your backyard. You should bank with me. I actually had to go by the bank today and make a deposit, and it was quick and easy because it's Priority One Bank, and that's what they do. They have local loan servicing and decision-making, so you don't need to get on the phone with somebody out of state or on Zoom to get a loan and have that. I don't know what to tell you, so we might just have to go with this view for a while. But anyway, Priority One Bank makes you their priority. So let's get to your comments now. Unless I'm just going to keep losing camera and audio for the rest of the night. This is going extremely well. Here we go. You'd rather Ole Miss not take a bid to the NIT and get a head start on recruiting? In your opinion, Ole Miss has big holes to fill this offseason. Brandon says he agrees with that as well. It sounds like that's what they're going to do, barring some kind of a change. And I mean, the portal opens Sunday. That is the most important thing. I would feel differently about this. I would have a stronger opinion about playing in the NIT if they had a bunch of freshmen that are all coming back that just need more game and practice reps. But the guys that are going to be playing for Ole Miss next year largely are playing for somebody else at the moment or will have their season just finished. There's no reason to prolong keeping this team together when they are going to almost all go their separate ways when it's over. There's no developing. There's very little developing that can happen anymore. The season's over. They're going to have almost an entirely new roster. That needs to be what the focus is on, and I believe that does open up on Sunday. So they need to get with it right away. So a lot of Hubbard to Kentucky talk. State people are very confident that they're going to be able to keep him. He is going to get a sizable raise from Mississippi State if he elects to stay. But I mean, there's no doubt it's the nature of the beast. He's going to get recruited by other people. He is going to get courted. He's going to get tampered with. We'll see if State is able to fight them off. Kentucky went after Tolu in the tampering portal last year, and State was able to fight Kentucky off and keep him. So maybe they'll be able to do that with Hubbard, but there's absolutely no doubt that he's going to be tampered with by basically every big program in America. We'll see. You know, that's the beauty of the portal and collectives, right? You know how much money you have based on who you sign. That's an oversimplification. You still have to recruit and build relationships and stuff like that. But if you're well-funded, you get good players. If you're not, you don't. It's really that simple. So all this hand-wringing over, you know, oh, the Bulldog Initiative has all this money. They're totally fine. They're totally fine. Well, here's your opportunity to prove it. It's really that simple. Do you keep your good players or not? And like I said before, some of them are willing to take hometown discounts. But when it comes to guys like Hubbard, even a hometown discount for a guy like Hubbard is still a massive, massive contract. We will see. We are going to see how good this lineup is against South Carolina this weekend. No doubt. I mean, they should be confident. They are hitting the baseball better. But they still, runners in scoring position has still been an issue for them. And when it comes down to series like this, when opportunities are fewer and fewer, we'll see if they can capitalize. So, yes, we're going to find out how legitimate they actually are this weekend for sure. Beard is going to have a busy offseason. He needs help at every position. You don't think Matt Morrell is ready for the NBA? The thing is about that is how much more ready can he be? I mean, truly, how much better can he get? At some point, as a prospect, you are who you are. And there are some physical limitations that'll probably keep him out of being drafted highly anyway. And so, and some guys just get sick of college as well. I don't know what he's thinking. I'm not in his head. But it's one of those situations where, you know, maybe there's just very little he can do to improve his stock, where he kind of reaches a ceiling and, you know, you get picked up on a two-way deal or a G League deal with somebody and you show out and an injury or two happens and you get your call up that way. That's probably the path for him. I'm not sure what else he can do. He can be more consistent. Maybe that's it. But he's not going to grow 4 inches in the offseason. You know what I mean? Chris Beard should ask Lane how he evaluates portal players in order to have a successful team. I have a feeling, though, you're going to hear some similarities from Chris Beard and Lane Kiffin on who they are trying to get in the portal, if that makes sense. Because Kiffin talked about it going into this past season where they focused on getting the right individual, like character-wise, as much as they did athletic talent and ability. That's the thing that Chris Beard needs to find. He needs to find guys that will buy into what he's asking them to do. He needs to find effort guys, guys that will give you 38 minutes a night of tenacity, you know, that can defend and that will rebound, that are willing to sacrifice. We're not in the locker room, but from my vantage point, it looked like there were a bunch of guys on that team that didn't give you 38 hard minutes a night or 28 hard minutes a night or whenever they're on the floor. I don't think you got maximum effort defensively. I don't think you got maximum effort rebounding. I don't think you had a group of guys that did the little things right. That's what he needs to find. It needs to be about character just as much as player. And Kiffin has talked about that openly. It's why he loved last year's team so much, and that's why bringing all those guys back were so important. That's why they were willing to not negotiate any further with Quinshon Judkins, because they have emphasized character as much as they have player. Chris Beard is going to have to do the same. He's going to have to find guys that will buy into what he's asking them to do. You could care less about bigs with tremendous offensive skills. You just want a 7-footer that can average more rebounds than a D3 point guard. But they still need some semblance of offensive help. I mean, that was a glaring issue with this team. A glaring issue. And they could stand to have somebody with a little bit of offensive game at those spots, because they didn't have that. And that hurt them, especially on off shooting nights where you could go to a big to get you easy buckets. If you're just struggling from the outside, instead, Ole Miss was, if they're not making a high volume of distant shots, they were losing that night because they just didn't have anybody that could provide them anything from a scoring perspective on the block. Do I keep up with the women's basketball? They have been doing really well. You're new watching it, but they are good. Yes, they are very good. Not near as closely as I do the men. You know, I'm not the only person that has shared this sentiment, but from a business perspective, we don't talk about it much on the radio show because our audience doesn't ask for it. It's just not something that is asked for. When we do talk about it, engagement is less, for sure. So we don't talk about it or cover it near as much. But yes, I am keeping up and paying attention, and they have a chance to make a pretty deep run in the tournament. They're tough. They are really tough and overcame that weirdness earlier in the season and locked down and played really good basketball, made it to the semifinals of the SEC tournament. And a lot of good things happening there. Saban's just mad that the field got leveled. I think there's something to that. You think I need to call ABS? Yeah, I really do. It's the connection from $20 Amazon webcam to 12-year-old microphone to almost 17-year-old computer is like not as strong. The USB is like kind of, you know, it's not, it doesn't lock in to its position anymore. And so if I move too much, it like goes away. I think that's the problem here. NIT equals not in tournament. Porky's Curtain, Rod Poltergeist is messing with his connection. For those of you in the radio audience, you know that in where I sit for the show, there's one light switch for my little box that I sit in. One light switch. And the lights keep turning off completely. But nobody's flipping the light switch because I can see it from my vantage point and nobody can mess with it. There is one light switch to turn the lights on in my room. There's not one outside. There's literally just one. And like four times in the last couple of weeks, it has randomly, the lights have just turned off. So I am haunted, as it turns out. So give you a Curtis or a Lockhart type big. They need somebody like Murphy Holloway. That's what they need. I know he's on staff, but that's what they need. They need a Murphy. Man, this team, this Ole Miss team with Sebastian Saiz, whew, they make the tournament. They make this Ole Miss basketball team makes the NCAA tournament with Sebastian Saiz on it. He was so skilled, man. He was really good. He was a double-double machine, and he had a good offensive game. Yeah, Sebastian Saiz on this team, they make the tournament. And he's a guy that doesn't get talked about a whole lot, but that is true. The issue on offense, defense, and rebounding was the same for all. Lack of aggression, yet softness. That's a tough word to charge a team with, that a team is soft. The implications that it comes with are, you know, it's pretty insulting to call somebody soft, but this team was soft. Physically and seemingly mentally soft. That is not a Chris Beard team, usually. They are very different than soft, typically. And so, Brandon with the super chat, thank you a lot, man. PTG, Brandon, PTG Outdoors. I'm looking forward to the shirts, man. I know the little man is too. He loves new clothes. It's so funny. Anytime he gets a new shirt, he's like, oh my God, it's the coolest. You'd rather watch the women's team than the men's team. Right now, they're more enjoyable to watch. There's no doubt about it. Thank you for the super chat, my friend. Thank you very much. Sebastian Saiz, let's see. Is he still playing overseas, you ask? He is playing in Japan, if Wikipedia is accurate. Let's see. So he's 29. God, he's still young. He is in Aalvark, Tokyo. It's the B League in Japan. That's where he did. I say China. He's in Japan. Alivark Tokyo is a Japanese professional basketball team in Tokyo, obviously. Currently plays in the Japanese B League. What is the B League? Let's see. The Japan bat. The structure of sports overseas are so confusing. So the B League is not like the second league. There's B League 1, B League 2, and B League 3. And then the Emperor's Cup. So he's in the highest level of Japanese basketball, it seems. Good for him. He was a good player. He was a nice dude, too. Nice around campus. People liked him. So Pel's got a big game tomorrow night, then heading down Saturday for the Blazers game. Nice. Yeah, they got to win these next two, man, especially because it looks like – so Phoenix lost tonight, which helps us. Last night was not a good night for us. I mean, we didn't play well and couldn't shoot a three to save our lives. But, not a good night for us. Tonight was okay. The Suns lost, which helps us. That keeps them at 38. We're only one game ahead of the Kings, Mavericks, and Suns right now. We're in fifth, and the Kings, Mavericks, and Suns are only one game back, and the Clippers are going to win tonight, so they're going to go three games ahead of us. So got to win tomorrow, and absolutely got to win on Saturday as well. So, yeah. I mean, every game is huge moving forward, but, yeah, these two especially. The same players that played soft for Kermit played soft for Beard. Shocker. You love how Beard has the cojones to say when they played like trash and the fans should get their money back. You know, Haydad brought up a good point to me, though. As cool of an idea as that is, you can't give the fans their money back, though, and here's why. It sets a precedent. Now fans are going to expect to be reimbursed every time you don't play well. So, maybe they do like some kind of voucher or something for a game next year. I don't know. But if they were to literally reimburse everybody for their tickets like he said they would, that would set a bad precedent. But no, I do like that. He very clearly does not throw his team under the bus in press conferences. That he, regardless of how they played all season long, he wore it and finally kind of let loose a little bit after the A&M game in Oxford, and that really kind of opened the eyes to, okay, this is how he really feels about this team. He really doesn't like this team, frankly. They don't play with good enough effort, and it's cost him. So if anybody can figure it out, it's him. I mean, again, I know that I opened this by saying that some self-scouting needs to be done because it wasn't a perfect coaching job. And I think he would admit that and tell you that. But if anybody can get Ole Miss basketball to where fans want it to be, it is this guy. I mean, it is. It absolutely is. So that contract is a very good thing. You agree you'd rather watch the women than the men currently? Coach Yo's intensity in game is downright scary. Well, I mean, that's what got them to that point in the SEC tournament as well. They just, you know, LSU was so crazily invested in basketball, in women's basketball, that was just talent at the end of the day for that game. I mean, they just got out talented. But with the right draw, they can make another run just like they did last year. Absolutely. And hopefully the Sweet 16 game, if they make it, won't start at 10:30 Central Time. Going to send some pics for the new shirts. Just got the mock-up tonight. Hell yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait. So big weekend upcoming. Really, really exciting. We got baseball. We've got baseball, and we've got baseball. It's finally here. Conference play is finally here. Time to find out what this Ole Miss team is made of. So we'll be back Sunday to talk about that. I might give you podcast listeners a bonus episode this weekend. If not, you will get one next week. That'll kind of be the thing here. We'll do the three lives and then a bonus episode of some kind that's not live, that is just for podcast only. So be on the lookout for that. But we'll be back Sunday. We'll start early on Sunday, actually. We'll start early because we've got a big weekend. Going to Monster Jam on Saturday and all that stuff. So we'll start early because we'll do early bedtime. And I'll see you guys then. So just have your notifications on. We'll call it 7:30 for now. So expect 7:30. We'll recap the baseball weekend, three games against South Carolina. We'll see you then. Don't forget to like the video. I appreciate you guys a metric ton, and I'll see you on Sunday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.